Terry Savage, the money lady, terrysavage.com, on the Noon Business Lunch today, has some year-end investment advice. A minute ago, I said, well, let's not be greedy. The market's done pretty well here this year. And you said, that's what I was thinking. What are you thinking about, Terry?
All right. So I just wrote a column. It's just posted today at terrysavage.com. We're talking about the fact, and it's interesting to discuss this. A, it's Christmas Eve. And B, both the S&P and the Dow have closed at all-time highs. So we will remember this date, and we will remember that I was brave enough to say this. And let me just explain how this column sort of starts off. The old Wall Street saying, no one ever rings a bell at the top. Only can you, when you look back in hindsight, do you know the market's peaked. But one of the greatest lessons, and I've been around for a while, that the stock market teaches is humility. I've seen all the greats, going back to Joe Granville and some legendary, you know, Abby Joseph Cohn, and oh my goodness gracious, all the people that have called bull and bear markets. Now, let's think about this. Anybody who ever said, get out of the market, was eventually proved wrong. I mean, here we are. We're making all-time highs. So if you got out, it was sort of a mistake in hindsight. If you stuck around, you're like Warren Buffett. You're way ahead. But the key word is eventually. And you have to understand the difference between you making decisions for your IRA or 401k or 403b or just your retirement funds and professional money managers who just have an obligation to do as well as the market over the long run, to beat the market dramatically, though they all try, but to just be there. They have an ability to remain cool if they're really good under pressure, to buy more when the market goes down, because they have this long-term view. Eventually for them is practically an infinite timeline unless they fall behind so badly they get fired.
Yeah.
But your question for yourself, and I'm talking all of you out there, I am not talking to 20 and 30 and somethings. They're not listening anyway. I'm talking to you as you approach retirement or you're in retirement. Your time horizon is, I need to spend this over the next, what, 20 years, 15 years, maybe 10 or 11? What if I'm lucky and it's 15? You have a much shorter time horizon. And that means you want to do something to reduce your exposure, not when the market's tumbling down and that's making headlines, but at moments like this, when you're getting out of some, not all, but some at all-time highs and putting it in chicken money, which is going to have its own challenges as rates come down, but lets you sleep at night. So that's the whole point I want to make in this column. You can read it at terrysavage.com. It'll be in the newspapers around the country this weekend.
So what should people be doing with their chicken money right now then, Terry?
Okay, so the point, the first thing is, everything's at all-time highs. You look at your spouse and you go, honey, we have, I mean, we just put a little bit in all for all those years. Now we have X hundred thousand. And the temptation is to say, I'm sure glad I didn't sell it a year ago when Terry Savage talked about having some chicken money. Because not until that moment, you know, the markets go down a lot faster than they go up. And the ride down is a lot scarier. They say the markets climb a wall of worry or stair step up and they come down in a big slide. So the point to be thinking about this is now, at moments like this, I mean, where you've had an incredible run and you might feel better if you put some money in the bank. Now, sadly, this is the moment when the Fed's cutting rates. That's my next column. I already wrote it
because
I'm going out of town. The next column is called the Chicken Money Challenge because the Fed's cutting rates. Banks are cutting rates. You have to look around right now. 6-month T-bills are at about 3.6%. So, you know, it was not even a year ago that they were 4.5%. So you're going to have to settle for less, and that's going to make you even more uncomfortable. I'm selling stocks that are winning, and I'm only going to get a little bit more than inflation. Why am I doing that? I'm doing that to sleep at night. And you'll never know why you did it until the moment comes, and nobody knows when the moment will come when it gets scary.
I've been a bear in my heart for a long time. You know that. I keep thinking this thing is not going to last. I'm right about that. Don't ask me when it's going to end.
But I've met your financial advisor, Sam, who's such a cool guy and who knows how to deal with your emotions. So he keeps you, because we sat and had coffee one day, appropriately exposed so you don't panic and get all out, or you don't panic and get overly loaded up. And that's what getting some professional advice can do for you. It will say, yes, John, you got a lot more years. You need exposure. But I'll tell you what's going to make you feel better on the days when you and Terry are talking about, oh, my gosh, it's down 60%. You're going to have chicken money on the sidelines, short-term bond funds, and you'll be able to say, oh, well, at least I didn't lose money there.
Do you think, though, Terry, that the question you just asked, how would you feel if you'd lost this market ride and you were sitting on, or you're now facing the prospect of getting a very small return relative to inflation on your bonds and your safer investments? Do you think this is yet not a bad option for people to be thinking about?
Let me give you the savage truth. That absolutely describes me. And because I know what will come, I hope in my lifetime that I will escape in some measure. It doesn't mean I'm out of the stock market. But of course, my chicken money, it's riding in T-bills, just as I've talked to you, all of you, has not participated in the upside. But there is a certain amount, and everybody decides based on what your cost of living is, what your time horizon is, what your risk tolerance is, how crazy you know you get when stuff happens, that if you have the discipline to set it aside and you keep exercising that discipline, you don't look back and say, oh, but I could have, because you know you can look forward and say, oh, but I will be able to sleep. And this will be enough to carry me through. I mean, we're not talking about the end of America here. We're talking about the panic that comes when everything's on the line and it goes down 20, 30, 40% or 50% even. And don't ask me why that would happen. I'll get Jim Stack on. You know, here's what I want to do. I call Jim Stack, who is of Investec, who's been very conservative and very cash oriented for the last year. And Dr. Bob is coming on. So that week that we get back from Christmas, we're going to try and get Jim Stack on first and then the next week, Dr. Bob.
So I'm looking at my producer, Colin. Colin, do I need to, we got a couple more minutes, right, to continue this conversation with Terry? Three more minutes. Good. Because don't you think that Stack has been wrong this year?
Yeah.
Look at all of the money. Look at all the opportunity that was lost because he was so conservative when the markets are all at all-time highs.
The fact is that he manages money for wealthy people, but I think primarily, when I say older people, grown-ups, I'll call us. And he doesn't manage my money, but I've followed him for, oh my gosh, 30-something years. He was the guy that said, get in the way back. I was at an investment conference with him, I think it was 2009. And when everybody else was thinking the end of the world was nigh, he gave a bullish signal. This guy is great on the big long-term trends. And I look back, I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of people make outrageous calls. Jim has consistently been early. He was early in 1999. I was early with him in talking about this is insane. This dot-com thing is, I mean, not that the internet won't be big, but that the stocks are overpriced, pets.com and all of that. So he's got a great track record, but so does Dr. Bob. That's what makes this so exciting. And it's wonderful to be there and be exposed to it, unless it's going to change your lifestyle in your retirement years, in which case you have to say, wait a minute, this was fine when I was 40. I'm 67 now. I'm 73 now. I've got to think about having some set aside so that I might not make all the profits, but I won't suffer all the losses.
Well, that's what you've reminded us. You have said a couple of times this year, imagine if, say, you had $500,000 in all of your investment retirement and it went down to 440, and you said to yourself, boy, if I could just get back to 500, I would be happy. But now you're at 550. That should make you, that should be making you happy right now, even if you park it now in something that won't continue the ride up that maybe we'll have, but maybe we won't, right?
So we had a real life example of this in April, in Liberation Day, when the tariffs were announced.
Yeah.
The S&P fell 20%. It was, you know, and who knew that it might not, I mean, who knew that it might not go down 30 or 40%? We talked about that on the air. As it was, for whatever reasons, the market turned around. We got the tax bill that insured profits for business. And I'll, you can go back and listen, a dozen reasons, but at the moment, who knew? So you were down 20%, then you got even, and now we're up more than 20%, 25%+, yeah. I think it is, yeah. on the S&P 500. So the bottom line is nobody knows for sure. The question is, what do you know for sure about what money you need to live on, and what at what point you have a heart attack or panic and sell out at the bottom? Because that's what makes bottoms. People going, oh my God, it's not the professional money managers typically that sell at the bottoms. It's all the people who have not been trained to manage money and manage risk and diversify assets. You just they just say, you know, I'm in my 401k or my IRA. Well, I've got stock market mutual funds. Well, do you have a few conservative ones, equity income ones? Do you have a little bit of a short-term bond fund, whatever's the safest exposure in your 401k? People just say, no, it's all in my 401k, but it was $392,000 and now it's $471,000. Hallelujah. But there's more to it. If it were that easy to get rich in the stock market, well, we're going to find out that it's not. I've seen it too many cycles.
This listener said, I thought tariffs would destroy us and all the stocks would crash. LOL. That obviously has not happened. We'll let Terry respond to that and also answer your specific questions. 312-981-7200 after the news. The news after this. 12:35, this is the Noon Business Lunch. It's Wednesday, that's Terry Savage Day, but it's Christmas Eve. There's no way Terry's going to do a whole hour of radio on Christmas Eve. She's got pies to bake.
No, I'm not cooking. This is not, my kids are handling Christmas. I did Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to being a guest.
So, Terry, I've got questions for you from our listeners. Are you game?
Okay, I'm sure. Let's go.
Terry, should we take some of our stock gains and put it in a money market? You talked about this in the last half hour, so you don't have to repeat everything you said, but what do you say to that listener?
No, I know, but just in general, first of all, if you're inside an IRA, there's no tax consequence. You're not paying taxes till you pull the money out. So if you've got $100,000 all and now you're in your late 60s and it's all in two stock funds, well, you could take 20% out maybe and put it in a money market fund. That's easy to do inside an IRA. In your 401k, you probably have conservative places like a stable value fund, or you might have a short-term government bond fund. Now, if you have your stock gains in your own name outside a retirement account and you've held them over a year, you're going to pay capital gains taxes. It's going to add to your income, so that might impact your Medicare premiums. But a gain is a gain. Money in the bank is money in the bank. And yeah. So the tax consequences you should be aware of. But sure, you can sell that and go right to a bank money market deposit account or a short-term CD. You won't earn a lot, but you won't lose a penny.
What should you expect to earn on that money market right now?
Well, this is interesting. You can go to bankrate.com. T-bills, as I said, are 3.6% for 6 months. Banks typically raise their rates slowly, hoping you'll just stick around and not notice that T-bill rates are going up. Right now, T-bill rates are coming down, but anything you can get over 3.5% in a money market is probably the best you can do. But there are places, banks that have FDIC-insured money funds, they're not guaranteed that rate for a fixed period of time, but you can look around and see. But anything over 3.5% is the safe money place to be.
Hey, Terry
and if
Savage.
If anybody tells you, oh no, I can get you 5% in an annuity or something like that, just remember, there is no free lunch. And if someone's talked to you about private credit at 7% or this extra yield or something like that, other than an FDIC insured bank account, you know you're taking more risk than you probably understand.
This one says, Terry, does the stock market follow inflation or reflect inflation?
They're closely connected, but nobody's ever been able to prove a definitive cause and effect, for the fact that listen to this now, think about this from that point of view of answering that question. There's never been a 20-year period where you would have lost money in a diversified, let's call it the S&P 500 index. So I'm going back 100 years. No 20-year period where you would have lost money in that S&P 500 index fund with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation. So over the long run, and again, here we talk about these words, eventually and long run. And that's why, you know, you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, early 50s. Of course, you keep putting that $300 or $400 a paycheck into the S&P 500 fund in your 401k, of course. But if you're older, you know, 20 years might be pushing your long run, especially if you need it. I mean, you may hope to live 20 years, but you're going to need to be spending some of that money in the interim. So that's why I say you might want to diversify now.
With that in mind, this listener said, hey, Terry Savage, how does one purchase T-bills?
We've talked about this. This is very easy. If you go to terrysavage.com, look on the right side and scroll down a little bit, there's a box that says how to buy T-bills. But basically, you go online to treasurydirect.gov. Very easy to open an account. You need your name, social security number. If you have a revocable living trust, you'd buy it in the name of your revocable living trust. Link your bank account. And then there's a link to what do you want to buy? You want to buy 26-week treasury bills. They're auctioned every Monday. And you just pick the next week's date. They'll come in and take the money right out of your bank account, leaving you the interest up front, by the way. And no state income taxes on T-bill interest.
773 says, where should an 18-year-old junior college student stash money from work for future college? So this would be somebody who's a freshman or sophomore in college, and I guess they want to go junior, senior, maybe grad school, but they're going to need the money in the next 2 years.
If your time, you know, when you said 18 years old, I was ready to launch onto how to buy the S&P 500. But if chicken money is not only about being old, and not only about having just a little money so you can't lose so much of it, it's also about your time horizon. When you have a two-year time horizon that belongs in a money market fund or a six-month CD. Now, what I really want to say to this 18-year-old is, can't you find the money somewhere else? Because if you're working, you could open a Roth IRA, and if you could let that money grow for the next 50 years, if you could do that every year, you'd have millions. So investing in a college education is great. But if you could put it in that, you won't get a tax deduction, but you're working, that allows you to contribute to a Roth IRA. If you could say to yourself, you know, I'm 18 and they're taking Social Security out of my paycheck and the odds of my ever seeing anything. Now, not you, John, not me, but for the 18-year-old. The 18-year-old should say, I got to put money in my own Roth IRA. I can't avoid having Social Security taken out, but if I want to make a bet on my future, I want to bet that I should bet on this in my own Roth IRA.
Okay, but first of all, you're not going to tell somebody to borrow money to go to college if they can pay cash.
No, I just want them to be more, especially not now that the government has just announced it is going to start garnishing wages.
How about
on thousands of borrowers who are in default. No, but what I want this 18-year-old, it's so impressive that an 18-year-old is helping pay for his or her own college education. So yes, in that case, you have to leave it in a money market account so it'll be there. But I want to just impress that you have a rare chance to create a tax-free account and let it grow over the years.
All right. So Terry's advice is make even more money so that you can not only save, but also
pay. My advice is always make more money.
Okay,
that is the answer to everything. everybody who's ever in debt, yes.
Okay, but you also just said that for that 18-year-old, you're not that optimistic about Social Security being there for them. Did I hear that?
Well, let me just think. Probably it'll be an age of 70. So from now, that person's going to start collecting. That person, maybe it'll be more than that. That person's going to start collecting. And where are we now? We are in 2020. I can't even do the math. I think that person should rely more on his or her own regular investments. I believe in the future of America. I believe we'll get through all the things that make everybody so aggravated today on both sides of the aisle. So I firmly believe in investing for the future. And I believe that they'll fix Social Security for me and for you, John. But
okay.
I think if you're 18, you should also be betting on yourself.
Fair enough. But So what you're saying is that you might think the retirement age might be older.
It will have to be.
Or that you'll have to pay more of your income into Social Security if you pass the threshold, or that it might not be dollar for dollar. You might get 85% of what you would have otherwise received. I mean, those are all scenarios that are talked about.
I don't know
about
how they'll fix it. But we had Larry Kotlikoff. I agree with
him. I know
that,
but Terry,
but
none of those things are, there won't be Social Security. There will be Social Security. Why the pause? Come on. Okay.
I'm just letting your pronouncement. We're talking about today's 18-year-old.
I don't think I said anything that was that noteworthy, Terry. That's not.
Well, it's your show, John. We're talking about an 18-year-old today.
I think what I said was very reasonable.
We're 2025. We're talking about somebody who's going to retire in 2100. That my brain doesn't even compute that.
Well, if they're 18 and they're going to retire at the age of 70, they've got 52 more years of paying into a system that you better damn well believe is going to be there to pay them some of that money back.
I hope they believe that because they're the ones making your check and mine.
You don't believe that? You don't believe that in 52 years, some sort of government remuneration is going to be there, Social Security or some other program? They're not going to come up with another program.
You know something? I think in 50 years, the least of our problems will be Social Security. I'm not a futurist. I'm a planner for the present. And what I like to do is hedge my bets. And that's what I'm trying to say. I just asked you to quote, this is a very Wall Street term, but it's not really. It's like you hedge your bets in everything you do in life. You wear your seatbelt, but you go the speed limit or maybe 10 miles over the speed limit if no one's around. You hedge your bets. So you hedge your bets in your own investments. And if you're a young person starting out, you try and figure out what education do I need to do what's coming next? Will AI take away jobs? Could I be this or that or the other thing? Nobody gets, my mom said this to me a zillion years ago, Terry, nobody gets a guarantee stamped on their forehead that this will work out the way you think it will. So you have to always be alert to what's changing. I think young people should be betting on America. And I think people who are in retirement or close to retirement should be thinking, okay, what if? That doesn't mean you're going to take all your money out and stuff it under the mattress. And I guarantee you, there are 12 people listening to us who've said, I'm going to put mine in the mattress. Oh, don't be silly. You want to keep up with inflation, which T-bills should do for you. On the other hand, here's a great all-time savage truth, which I stole from the late Clyde Harrison, my mentor, and a really smart guy. He always said, you know, good judgment comes from experience. And experience comes from bad judgment.
I like that.
Think okay,
hold
that, for
hold that thought for a minute, Terry. It's 12:46. This is the Noon Business Lunch, 312-981-7200. Tom's got a question on the phone about Roth IRAs. Several of you do. We'll ask Terry about those in a minute. Terry Savage, the money lady from terrysavage.com, joins us on Wednesdays. And here she is on Christmas Eve. Terry, I've got more questions for you. Anything you want to insert before we get rolling?
Yeah, let's not miss mentioning, I made myself a note, that gold crossed $4,500 an ounce, okay? And that the dollar is not plummeting, but it's at a two-year low, and that the rest of the world might be looking at us and saying, maybe we want to diversify out of dollars. If they really wanted to, they wouldn't buy our T-bills, and we'd see much higher interest rates or our bonds, but that's not really happening. On the other hand, notably, well, silver, oh my God, that's amazing since the days of Bunker Hunt, you know. But gold, which is more of a global commodity and a global referendum on alternative assets, trading over $4,500 an ounce yesterday at $4,519, backed off a little under $4,500 today, but very interesting to note.
Tom,
that's
you're
what
on
I
WGN
mean by diversifying.
Radio. I got it. Okay, I want to insert a couple calls or text messages.
Okay,
so
let's do it.
Let's go to Tom on line one. You're on WGN. Thanks for holding, Tom. What's on your mind?
Thanks. Listen, I've got an IRA, and I have a Roth. I want to transfer some money into my Roth, but I understand I can do a certain amount without paying any tax.
That depends on... I want you to do an analysis of what the impact is going to be on your own tax bracket. Okay, when you convert from a traditional IRA, if it was a traditional deductible IRA, that's all going to be taxed as ordinary income. Now, that ordinary income tax increase could impact not only your income taxes, but are you already on Medicare?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that could possibly impact your Medicare premiums. If you go to terrysavage.com and there's a search box under my columns and you just put in Roth conversion, you will see how to find the software that will help you calculate whether you should and how much you should convert in order to have the least impact, but you'll pay taxes.
Okay, good luck to you on that. Hey, Terry, can I transfer gains in a Roth to a money market?
Oh, sure. So you have a Roth IRA. Let's just say, where is it? It's at Fidelity or Vanguard, or it's at Schwab or at Merrill Lynch, and you're all invested in the S&P 500 index fund or XYZ growth fund or whatever it is. All you have to do is call and say, keep it in my Roth IRA, but I now have, I started with $47,000. I now have $290,000. Transfer $40,000, $50,000 into your government securities money market fund inside my Roth IRA. You're just opening a new mutual fund account, the money market fund account, inside your Roth IRA with your same custodian.
Time's up.
Oh, no. Oh, well. Merry Christmas. I hope Santa comes to your house. Santa has come to the stock market, and we can all smile about that. What a nice way to end the week.
Always a pleasure to hear you, Ms. Savage. We will visit next week and into the new year, okay?
Thank you, John, the best.
Happy holidays. That's Terry Savage, the money lady at terrysavage.com.